Down the middle of the field, wide open, got it! On the run, 30, 25, 20, 15, 10, 5, touchdown!
He goes and fights and pushes, and he's
right at the goal line, and it is caught and juggled and caught, touchdown!
Oh, my goodness.
It is all over! The Browns have won it!
Coming to you live from Browns headquarters in Berea, Ohio, this is Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford, in association with Quaker Steak and Lube.
40, 45, 50, he's in open field, 20, 50, 10, 5, touchdown! It's a one-play drive!
Now, here's your host, Vic Carew.
You're hot.
The 16 win.
I'm so darn proud of you. I'm so proud of you because it wasn't pretty, right? Defense, you battled your fanny off. Offense, not pretty, not pretty. But you know what? At the end of the day, and this is really what life's all about. At the end of the day, you found a way to get it done.
Right.
Right? It only takes a couple seconds. It only takes 1 point. And I'm so darn proud of your effort. And I think we're building something here, right? We're building something. You understand the process. You understand what we're looking for. You know the plays. You're getting some confidence.
10 seconds.
Let's build on it. I'm proud of you guys, man. Really proud of everybody in here because we
battled
and we fought. And with a couple seconds left, we beat him by a point.
Yep.
Couple seconds left, we beat him by a point.
Few takeaways from that outstanding post-game sound that we have from that locker room. You only need a point, okay? You only need a point. Now, think about what you saw, I assume a lot of you saw, last night watching the Steelers and the Colts. Pretty win for Pittsburgh? Did they look like a world beater? Did they look like a team that was most recently in the Super Bowl and that have been in a whole bunch of Super Bowls of late? Not at all. But they won. They're 2-1 just like the Browns, and in no prettier fashion. And they had their issues against the team that the Browns beat the week before. Another takeaway, building something. And I think that is the key here, and that ties into how this game was won. You can build something when you can point to an 80-yard drive, when you can point to your young quarterback taking the team 80 yards for the winning touchdown in the final seconds. Big-time play. Big-time delivery of a ball to a receiver in the end zone who makes a big-time catch. And that's really all you needed and all you had. Yep, eight penalties. There's a lot of junk in there. Garbage was the word McCoy used to describe it. So we'll go with that. But the end result, the 2-1 record, it's that sort of thing. Confidence building, another point that Pat Shurmur makes, are, to me, the main takeaways from that game. We're taking your questions, as we always do Ask Vic. You post them on the Browns' official Facebook page or our official Twitter page. We've got some questions from Twitter. Doug at Larham says, all right, with Kenny Britt hurt, you know he has that ACL torn for the Titans and is out for the season. Should the Browns be more aggressive with the blitz? Do they need to? My response to that, Doug, is in a game like this, it isn't the key that isn't that Kenny Britt's out of the lineup. The key is that the Titans, and we're going to get more into the Titans later in the week. This is going to be a review show, but I did want to answer this question on top because of the Britt news. It's a balanced passing attack. They've got a veteran guy named Matt Hasselbeck, a quarterback, who spreads the ball out to many receivers. So Britt's absence doesn't change the philosophy that they're taking, which means, from a defensive standpoint, I don't know how aggressive you want to be blitzing that veteran quarterback. That's what you got to look at. I think you want to leave as much as you can into coverage. All right, our lineup for tonight on the show, Bernie Kosar will make his weekly visit to us to break down yesterday's game, and the roundtable convenes. Jim Donovan and Doug Deacon from the Browns Radio Network, and, of course, Tom Withers from the Associated Press. We get together and we talk about yesterday's game in detail. We also give out our game balls, and we're going to talk about how you awarded the game balls, and we'll do that a little later in the show. Which player got your game ball from the 17-16 win over the Dolphins, and why? Our choices on our official Browns Facebook page: Joshua Cribbs, DeQuell Jackson, Muhammad Massaqua, or Colt McCoy. Those were your options, so we'll get to those. And we're going to get to Bernie Kosar in a couple of minutes on Cleveland Browns Daily. It's driven by Liberty Ford. It's brought to you by Madden NFL 12 in stores now. EA Sports, it's in the game. Hey, Browns fans, Vic Carucci here talking to you about my good friends at Liberty Ford, Ohio's number one Ford dealer group. Liberty has hundreds of vehicles in stock to choose from, like the 2012 Explorer Limited I'm driving right now. Great design, third row seating, navigation, plus all the technology you need right at your fingertips. With guaranteed financing and award-winning customer service, you just can't beat the Liberty Ford experience. Stop by Liberty Ford today to see for yourself or visit libertyford.com.
Hey, Browns fans, Bernie Kosar here. As a former NFL quarterback, I know what it's like to get hit hard. But you can keep your wallet from getting hit hard when you take advantage of Discount Drug Mart's $1.99 generic prescription program. Discount Drug Mart offers hundreds of prescriptions and non-prescription medications starting at just $1.99. Just like my offensive line protected me, Discount Drug Mart will protect your wallet. Discount Drug Mart, the official drugstore of the Cleveland Browns.
At First Merit Bank, getting to know our customers is important to us. So how do we do it? Well, it's simple. By listening, learning, understanding your business, and by turning all those things into a real, roll-up-our-sleeves, working-together-to-achieve-your-future-goals kind of relationship. So let's start now. Hey, how about that game? Let's get to know each other. First Merit Bank. You first. Member FDIC.
Universal Windows Direct is back with our crazy $99 window sale.
Bill, I can't believe we're doing this. For every window you buy, you get the second one for $99.
Mike, that's almost like giving the windows away, man.
Dude, I hear you, but it's fall, home improvement time, and we don't want people to trust their windows to just any company.
I agree. We haven't even mentioned 36 months interest-free financing.
So call us right now at 216-518-8900, and we'll give you an extra 15% off.
You're killing me, Mike.
Call Universal Windows Direct, and tomorrow you'll be saved.
I love my windows.
If you've ever wanted a truly spectacular diamond ring, you'll want to visit Jared this Friday through Sunday. That's because this Friday through Sunday, when you purchase your diamond at Jared, you'll receive up to a $1,000 reward toward the purchase of a beautiful diamond setting. Choose from thousands of diamonds and have your one-of-a-kind ring created right here at Jared. Get set in diamonds this Friday through Sunday for a reward worth up to $1,000 only at Jared.
It can only be Jared.
Convenience is the name of the game, and this is Doug Deacon. When I bought my car, I went directly to Mercedes-Benz of Bedford. The dealership is just minutes away from Cleveland Browns Stadium, and when I get my car serviced, well, they come pick it up and give me a courtesy car. How easy is that? It's also nice to know if my car gets tackled, they offer the most service technicians and a certified collision center, so I can get back on the road in no time. Take it from me, go to Mercedes-Benz of Bedford. Nothing but the best. Check them out online at MercedesBedford.com. Mercedes-Benz of Bedford, a Penske automotive dealership.
ESPN Cleveland's traffic.
40 westbound before State Road, accident on the right shoulder. East 200th closed between St. Clair and Lakeland Boulevard with flooding. East 222nd closed between St. Clair and the Lakeland Freeway with flooding. You've got Dover Center northbound between Butternut Ridge and Lorraine Road closed with a broken water main. I'm Libby Rhodes, ESPN 850 WKNR traffic.
We proudly welcome you back to Cleveland Browns Daily on this Victory Monday. It's driven by Liberty Ford in association with Quaker Steak and Lube.
Bernie, Bernie, oh yeah, how you can throw. Yeah.
Bernie Kosar joins us, as he always does, each Monday to review the previous day's game. And Bernie, we got another good one to look back on.
Yeah, and you know what? Yesterday was, I think, the epitome of the NFL, and it doesn't matter other than the W or the L. And absolutely, it wasn't pretty, especially for 3.5 quarters. But the ability to fight and claw your way and kind of hang around and then make plays at the end couldn't have been any more evident yesterday.
And that's the thing, Bern. I know some people are going to express concern, frustration, maybe even a little disappointment over the fact that it wasn't pretty, over the fact that they did struggle so much. But when you look at this record at 2-1 in a league where other teams, for instance, Sunday night, Pittsburgh and the Colts, the Steelers certainly didn't look like world beaters, and they too are 2-1. I think you have to take that and be satisfied with it. And I'm not saying that as any sort of an apologist here for this team.
Well, you know, in the NFL, there's always concern. I mean, every week you have concern. So, yeah, but you're right. However you end up with the wins is really all that matters. And, yeah, there's lots of things that weren't pretty yesterday, weren't right. But as Coach Shurmur kind of pointed out, boy, is it a lot better to correct mistakes and try to improve after a win.
And one thing, too, to clarify about this notion that you can have sustained success and still have some bumps along the way. I think back to your era, and a lot of people in this town romanticize what took place when you were a quarterback of this team, and it's easy to do because I got caught up in that myself in the days of covering the NFL and having the occasions to come to Cleveland then. But I, as I recall it, Bernie, you guys scratched and clawed for a fair amount of wins.
Hey, I think it kind of epitomizes our area, our upbringing, and our community of the blue collar, work hard, fight hard, and do the best you can. And maybe it isn't as pretty as sometimes you want, but ultimately it's the end result, and that's definitely the case. I mean, hey, yesterday the weather was basically pretty nice, and we're still the nicer part of the season. But, you know, in a blue-collar area, in a blue-collar team, in a young team, you know, it's a somehow, some way. This is Jimmy Johnson had this line. Somehow, some way, you got to find a way to win. And that epitomized the era and the teams that I'd like to think I was a part of. And that epitomized yesterday.
Let's separate Colt McCoy's game into two parts here. The part I want to start with is the part where he delivered when it mattered. He makes the throw, moving to Josh Cribbs, and of course Josh makes a great play to catch it. He makes another throw, moving, and this is in those final seconds of the game, that final minute, that Mohamed Massaquah, and of course he does the great stuff to keep his feet in bounds. Particularly that last play, that last drive. How much of a defining moment is this for Colt's career?
Well, I think guys, and although me and Colt are different types of players, we have, and I don't mean this as a criticism, I actually mean as a compliment, but we don't exactly have the body types of the typical NFL player. But there's a little something in the DNA that's a little different, that's able to handle the pressures and wants to win at all costs. And, you know, I think yesterday, you know, even though he's struggling through most of the day, to have that ability to block it all out, have the tunnel vision focus to be able to make the plays at the end. And then, you know, yeah, the Josh Cribbs play by Josh jumping up and get it, that's definitely a receiver coming up and making a play and making the quarterback look good. But that last drive, 8-for-8, the throw to Mohamed Massaquah, the fourth down throw hitting hard to see in stride just to get it. Those, you know, under pressure, under duress, those are tough things to do, and they hit it seamlessly. And the throw to Mohamed Massaquah, like we said, as perfect a throw and the only spot it could be. It's just fun to watch.
Yeah, I really, in both cases, those touchdowns, the vaulted one to Cribbs, causing him to vault, I should say, and keeps it away from the defender. At the very least, it's an incomplete, but at the very most, the right guy is able to pull it down. All right, so those are the two good parts. Now, the bad Colt, the Colt who had passes knocked down, the Colt who looked like he was not seeing things either all that clearly or certainly was confused somewhat by the Mike Nolan coverages that were there, the Dolphins defensive coordinator, the Colt that seemed out of sync. Break that down for us, if you will.
Well, you know, the knockdown balls, I'm a big fan of Mike Nolan and been going against him for almost 30 years now. His defenses, his attack defenses, you're going to get some balls knocked down with the blitzing and pressure that he puts on you. I'm not sure as much as confusion as it was. You know, they do a good job, and their backs were to the wall, the Dolphins, yesterday. They are 0-2. They're going to San Diego next week, then a bye week. They could be, you know, they didn't want to go 0-3. So that defense was, I think, the sixth-rated defense in the NFL last year. There's a lot of good players there, especially in their front seven. And there's a lot of pride there. And they've been embarrassed the first 2 weeks. They had something to prove yesterday. We got their best effort. And, yeah, they got the better part of it through most of the day. But they, seeing why they're probably 0-3, they couldn't close out Colt and the team, you know, hanging around and keeping the Browns in the game. Those are just, you know, we caught a team yesterday that was, you know, kind of like the dog backed up into a corner, wanting to come out and fight.
Yep, no, that's a great point. Bernie Kosar, former Browns quarterback, joining us as he always does on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. So, Bernie, the day starts with the news that Peyton Hillis isn't going to play, that Peyton Hillis isn't even in the building. He shows up at the stadium and then gets sent home with strep throat. And I sensed a malaise. I sensed the response to this that was, you could see it in how the offense especially played, but maybe just in a general sense that, oh, no, our guy isn't here. What do we do now? I thought the Browns had to kind of get through that initial feeling of his absence before they started to get their act a little bit together, and then maybe they didn't get it all the way together, but they started in that hole, it seemed, mentally.
Right, and this is, you know, we all as players have a little bit of pride, and we don't like to think we're one-dimensional, single-threaded, relying on a single person, and we want to prove, you know, that we really are a team. And I thought the camaraderie and teamwork yesterday, with Peyton Hillis not playing, you know, Hardesty stepped up, played really good. The line, you know, opened up some holes. And those, yeah, there was pressure on Colt McCoy yesterday. Yes, there was balls batted down. That's a pretty good front seven. And those are very intricate blitzes that we saw yesterday. And by and large, I thought everybody kind of rose to the occasion and kind of elevated their play.
And let's talk about Montario Hardesty and the effort he had. 67 yards total, kind of a modest number, but with 14 carries, a 4.8 yard average per carry. And that jumps out at me. And that 19-yard run that he had, also showing the pure speed that he has, that jumps out at me. And catching the ball pretty well, too.
Yeah, the fourth and five before the Muhammad Massaquoi catch was very clutch yesterday for a younger player, a guy who really had his first sustained attempts yesterday. That was definitely a positive thing to watch.
I mean, is there a bit of a – how important will this be in the long run? I know we know it's a better running team with Hillis back, and you know, the hope is that he's in there for the Tennessee game. But do you think this changes some things now in terms of the dynamic of Hardesty?
Well, yes, in terms of the depth, other things for teams to work on, the ability to be more creative for Coach Shurmur in terms of, you know, we heard in preseason about the potential of having both of those guys on the field at the same time, which, you know, even the Dolphins yesterday probably made a mistake in not having their young running back, Daniel Thomas, on the field with Reggie Bush. When you have your best players, your playmakers, you want to get them on the field. And now to have the confidence that Hardesty showed yesterday he deserves more opportunities, it just gives more options for the Browns and for the Tennessee Titans to work on and have to look at.
And how impressive, Bernie, is this Browns defense. These young guys, particularly up front, but overall just rising to the occasion, overcoming a lot that the offense put out there, including the fact that Hillis wasn't there, and just responding. That has been a thread, a theme through this season that we can point to.
Well, Bergeron, I think, deserves just a ton of credit for that type of experience that he's had. You know, I've been going against him. It's nice to have him on the same side for a change, but going against him for, again, almost 25, 30 years, his experience coupled with the success of the last two drafts, and when you have a T.J. Ward and a Joe Hayden last year and Phil Taylor and Jabal Sheard, the pressure they're putting from the switch to a 3-4 to a 4-3 and the consistent pressure and plays that they are making, not only are they impressive to be younger guys, but they're showing to be difference makers in the scheme of the whole league.
And you really love the fact, I mean, what really comes to roost here is that they focused on defense in the 2010, I mean, with their picks in the 2010 draft. Obviously, they get a quarterback in that draft, too, but they and Colt McCoy. But Joe Hayden, T.J. Ward last year, Taylor Sheard this year, and then the moves that were made in that brief offseason we had before training camp, if they really could call it that, in making sure they signed Jamie Mitchell, re-signed him as a free agent, making sure they extended the contract of Ataba Rubin, who's just been sensational. But these names are showing up, Bernie. They're making a difference.
Yeah, Ataba Rubin, from the time he's come here, has been consistently showing up, making plays. Jamie Mitchell is showing, you know, didn't play last year after the trade, but, you know, it's showing that not only do they deserve to be in the league, they're showing that they're playmakers within the league. And it's the reason why we're 2-1 right now.
Yep. Great stuff, Bernie. As always, we will do this again on Friday as we look ahead to the Tennessee game.
Sounds good.
All right. That is Bernie Kosar, former Browns quarterback, joining us, as he always does, on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Much more coming up on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Get the value you're looking for at Liberty Ford, Ohio's number one Ford dealer group. Lease the fuel-efficient Ford Fusion or Escape for $199 a month. Your choice, 2012 Fusion or Escape for only $199. With outstanding value, quality, and technology, it's no surprise Ford is the best-selling brand in America. Large selection, guaranteed financing, and nobody pays more for your trade.
Liberty, Benson, Maple Heights, Brunswick.
Quaker Steak and Lube is now the official chicken wing of the Cleveland Browns. Lube wings are now available at Cleveland Browns Stadium. Whether you're watching the game live or stopping into your local Quaker Steak and Lube, be sure you're getting your Best Wings USA fix every game day. Watching the game at home, the lube has you covered. Call ahead or order online to pick up your lube wings at the pickup wingo window. Quaker Steak and Lube is proud to be the official chicken wing of the Cleveland Browns.
Hi, I'm Doug Deacon, and I don't like anything standing in my way of getting me where I'm going. CLE parking is always a big hit with me when I fly. When I'm in a rush, I use the convenient CLE valet service or their outbound taxis to get me on the move. CLE, going places.
It's time to kick off a season of savings at Medina Volkswagen Mazda. Ohio's fastest growing VW and Mazda dealer has put together all of the right plays to make sure their game plan makes you a winner. Right now, you can save up to thousands on their roster of fuel-efficient 2011 Volkswagens and Mazdas, including the VW Jetta and Mazda 3. Have a vehicle to trade in? Then you've come to the right place. You won't find any trick plays with the team at Medina Volkswagen Mazda. They'll pay more for your vehicle and sell you theirs for less, regardless of your car's make or mileage. It doesn't get much easier than that. With Medina Volkswagen Mazda, you'll never outkick your coverage, making life simple for you and your checkbook. So get out today and visit Medina Volkswagen Mazda on Pearl Road in Medina, or open anytime at MedinaVWMazda.com. Find out why they're Ohio's fastest growing VW and Mazda dealer, and experience the Medina Volkswagen Mazda difference.
Hi, I'm Doug Deacon, and I don't like anything standing in my way of getting me where I'm going. CLE parking is always a big hit with me when I fly. When I'm in a rush, I use the convenient CLE valet service or their outbound taxis to get me on the move. CLE, going places.
Hi, this is Tom Heckert, and you're listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
And we are back on Cleveland Browns Daily. As the general manager said, we're driven by Liberty Ford in association with Quaker Steak and Lube. Folks, this year, don't fumble your home improvement projects with another company. Hand it off to the winning team at Universal Windows Direct. Since 2002, Universal has been Cleveland's number one pick for quality vinyl replacement windows. And this month, you'll score with their $99 window sale. For every window you buy, get the second window for just $99. Plus, go long with 0% financing for up to 36 months. And you may still be eligible for the 2011 Energy Tax Credit. For a free estimate, call 216-518-8900 with Universal Windows Direct. You'll be saying, I love my windows. And this roundtable segment, the one we set up each week, is driven by Liberty Ford. Roundtable time. And we've assembled the best. Jimmy Donovan from the Browns Radio Network. How you doing, Jim?
Very, very good, Vic.
And Doug Deacon, also from the network. Deke, great to have you.
Great to have a great weekend with a win in the Legends class.
I know, it has, and we're going to touch on that, too. And Tom Withers from the AP. Hi, Tom.
Thanks for having me, Vic.
All right. All right, you're right. I don't know if this is why it worked out this way, but it couldn't have been better. You're honoring two former great Browns and Tom DeLeon and Vince Costello. It's Legends Weekend. A lot of the former players come back, and the Browns treat them to a win. Not a pretty win, Jimmy, but
no,
a win.
Not a pretty win at all, but a win. I mean, a win of maybe a long time ago, maybe a little bit of a Neanderthal win, maybe back in their times. But I'll tell you what. I listened to both of the new members of the Legends and how excited they both were. I mean, really touched by being able to come back and being honored like this. I thought it was really it was heartwarming. I think that it means so much to them.
Did we just say they're 2-1 and take it at that? I'm sure it's we're gonna find a lot of the flaws in this thing, but 2-1 is 2-1.
2-1 is 2-1, and there's been a script that's been around Cleveland for a long time that, you know, you lose that game yesterday, and you lose the opening game, which happened to them. So, I mean, we've seen that play out on that field, in that stadium. So to get out of there and get a win, I think people take a big sigh of relief and head to next week.
Well, we've talked a lot of times about, you know, leadership, and I think, you know, when you're down and you need that final drive and you execute it, There's a natural leadership role that comes with that success.
I thought it was a real growing up game for the Browns. I thought, you know, just like Deke just said, for Colt to go into that huddle after having an atrocious game, I think it was, 10 of 26 to that point,
yeah.
To go in that huddle was still with that mindset, hey, guys, we're going to get this done somehow, some way, and they pulled it out. You know, part of me says I shouldn't be surprised that he's capable of doing that, because we've seen this guy, I've watched this guy through college, certainly seen a lot of good moments and some sustained stuff from him as a pro. But there was another part of me that said, where did that come from? Because for the entire day, or for the better part of that game, I couldn't fathom 80 yards, putting that together and looking as sharp as he did for that moment that he needed to.
I totally agree with you. When they got the ball at the 20-yard line, I said to myself, I think you were out of the booth at the time, or I would have said it to you, Doug. But I think I said to myself, what works?
Yeah.
Right. Nothing works at that point. There was nowhere to go. There wasn't a button that you could push all day and say, we're going to get a first down here and then we'll get going. I just didn't see anything that was clicking at that time that would say they'll go 80 yards.
I mean, Dig, he's, again, this is why they have him. This is what they invested in the draft pick for and so on and so forth. But where does that come from? What did we see? Is that the Colt, the 80-yard drive Colt, is the Colt that we're going to see more times than not? I know not that you're going to predict the future here, but your sense of what we have.
Well, you know, it was he in the first half, the first three quarters. I mean, he was off. I mean, he was missing a couple wide open receivers. He had a couple drops and things like that. But, you know, it's one of those where, you know, winners know how to win. And, you know, he's been a winner all his life. So there's not a, you know, real surprise there. I mean, I saw a guy start the ball at the 2 yard line down there and take it 98 against us one time. So
heard about that
That one kind of sticks in the craw. But, you know, I think there's just, you believe in people. And, you know, I go back to Brian Sipe. And he used to do the same thing. He'd say, you know, hey, give me a little extra time and we can make this work.
Sure.
And, you know, when you do it and you execute it, then everybody starts believing, and then there's an air of confidence, because we haven't always had an offense that's been consistent. But with that said, you know, you would like, you know, the first game was rough for him. The third game for, you know, pretty much 57 minutes was rough for him. But when it came to crunch time, he did come through.
I think he won over some skeptics too, Vic. I mean, you know, the mood was no different in the press box, Jimmy, is that, you know,
well,
what else, and not only that, what else is going to go wrong today?
Yeah.
And even on the last throw to Massaquoi, which was one heck of a catch, you know, I thought he was a little short on that throw when it first came out of his hands. I did the, it's going to get picked, and here we go
but
again.
It was ultimately, it was perfect, not only because Muhammad makes the move to get it, but just it was the only place. All right, so amateur psychologist, we always do this stuff. You just said about things, what else could go wrong. We knew what the first thing that went wrong was, and that's Peyton Hillis pulls in and then pulls out with his vehicle because he is sent home with strep throat. Do you think, I got the great sense that watching the struggles of this team was watching a team that couldn't come to grips with that mentally. Do you think any of that played into it at all?
I don't. I thought, you know, especially because of the way Hardesty played, I thought he gave them a real nice lift.
Yeah, but they didn't know that until he was...
No, they didn't.
Until he had the ball.
They
eight,
didn't.
Eight career carries.
Yeah, I mean,
they
can speak better than Jimmy and I can on this, but it's got to be that next man up kind of feeling. And, you know, whether that altered the game plan or not, I'm not so sure.
Were they distracted?
No, I don't think so, because you see a kid in practice and you see how he does in practice and you get an idea of what he's all about. Yeah, you know, you're a little upset because, you know, you thought you had this going and you had a guy that had the reps doing this. But, you know, Hardesty, in his own way, is a tailback. You know, Hillis is a fullback, and I think his vision is much better sometimes than Hillis's. And, you know, it was nice to see him get the rust off.
Well, here's the one thing, you know, that might have distracted them a little bit, is that I don't think you know a lot about the Hardesty file yet. You're right. I mean, he had only had eight career carries coming into the game. I think we all just want him to get back up.
Right.
After a run,
right.
After what happened last year in the preseason.
Sure.
So here's the other thing, though. Hillis is a pretty good option at times to throw the ball to. And yesterday, when things weren't going well, it might have been a nice safety valve to be able to dump the ball out in the flat.
Yeah.
We don't know yet what Hardesty does in the receiving game. People said he was pretty good at Tennessee. He made a nice play on fourth down.
Yeah, I was gonna say, he made a money play yesterday.
That might have been part of it that, you know, McCoy
beforehand.
Did not have that guy out there in the flat because Hillis can get you to.
I go along with that. I think there was a little malaise. It seemed to me that it went a little further than just having an off day. And I'll credit the Dolphins' defense. Doug, they were doing – Mike Nolan did some things schematically that seemed to confuse or if not confuse, bother Colt enough to he wasn't sure what he was looking at.
Yeah, I mean, and, you know, the Dolphins, they've got some talent on defense, too. We didn't really exploit their secondary. You know, Vontae Davis didn't play, and you thought, well, you know, we got a chance when you're going against the second team quarter against a number one draft pick. But we weren't really able to exploit it till the end.
And, boy, dodging a bullet at the end there with them getting 30 extra yards after that excessive celebration penalty, which I'm still not sure exactly went on there. And then the horse collar, and Henny's got the ball in midfield. And like I said, even after the McCoy touchdown, I thought, oh, boy, here we go again.
Yeah. Okay, eight penalties. That stands out. And, again, after the game, Pat Shurmur made it about as clear as could be that there were things to fix, said it wasn't a boatload, it was a freighter of stuff to fix. Well, I start with these penalties, 11 in the first game, two games later, you got three in the second, and then sandwiched by eight. What do you think the issue here
is? Well, I mean, you know, it's going to come back and get you, and it probably did in the first game. I mean, and it almost got them yesterday because they really, the Jabal Sheard penalty really was a critical point because you had them hemmed in.
Right.
I mean, he was in trouble. They're back inside their five-yard line. Let's say nothing happens there, and they're punting from their own end zone, and you got a shot maybe to get some field position. and at least get a field goal or some points
in the
game.
That's probably fixable, though, Jimmy. And do they teach those kids then to come in with their hands down in that situation? I mean, I know you want to get your hands up in front of the quarterback.
Well, you know, you're reaching to try to grab the guy.
Because he had kind of committed to run.
He got a body in front of you, so you don't know really where you're reaching. You're just hoping to get a piece of cloth rather than a piece of helmet or face mask. And in his case, he got face mask.
How much do we attribute the offensive struggles to, and it's going to sound tired and worn out, to the old, they didn't get to work in the off-season thing like none of the teams did, but they were a younger team. They have new coaches. They have a new scheme. Are we still seeing the effects of that?
I think to a degree, but I think a bigger issue yesterday is that you had Massaquoi, who didn't practice, you know, for a good chunk of the week, and the same with Cribbs. And then, you know, obviously you lost him on the return game, so that has to play into it. But I still think there is, you know, a certain degree of rust and just a certain degree of, you know, figuring out what it is exactly we have to work with. I mean, we've seen kind of a different use of the tight ends every week to this point.
Yeah, I agree. I think that probably this team, and because we're talking about this team, it doesn't make them unique in the NFL. But when you still have young receivers and a young quarterback and a new offense, I don't think they could have thrown the ball enough to each other during the offseason. The other thing is, and this is way out of left field, I could really see now where Brandon Jackson would fit in this offense.
Yes.
You know, because I don't think they have it. Whether Hardesty and Hillis are together or not, I can really see where that guy would have fit.
Smith's not there yet. But no, he's not there. Used him a little bit yesterday, though.
But he's right. But Brandon Jackson on experience and skill. Yeah.
Manny Ramirez, you're not out in left field. You're in center field behind home plate.
There you go.
But
Jimmy being Jimmy.
And another thing about this, you see, the identity hasn't been established for this football team. We know, and nor do I expect it after three games for them to know what they are or for us to know what they are. But I'll say this. I was so convinced that this would be the Evan Moore show in a big way. From a passing standpoint, the team certainly makes that investment, and Moore has that talent. But where is he, and where is really the Moore Ben Watson thing that we were seeing kind of preseason and had that feeling? They each got a touchdown in the first game. I'm just sensing that opponents either are doing a hell of a job of keeping them minimized, or something's got to change to get them more maximized.
Well, I mean, you're seeing more of Alex Smith. I mean, they're bringing him in a lot, and Doug. I think we're both surprised, too, about the Evan Moore situation because, I mean, he's just an obvious matchup problem.
Well, he's a matchup problem, but you also, you know, you're breaking in two right tackles that have not played a lot. And if we're a right-handed team right now, so, you know, you get some security over there that you have confidence in the people that are playing there. And I thought both, you know, Hicks and Cousins did a nice job yesterday. But with that said, we're going to put that tight end on the right side quite a bit.
All right. Well, we are just getting started. We've got another segment to go with our roundtable, Jim Donovan, Doug Deacon, Tom Withers. And when we come back, we will talk more about the game and hand out our game balls from the Browns' 17-16 victory over the Miami Dolphins. Much more coming up on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR. Hey, Browns fans, Vic Carucci here, talking to you about my good friends at Liberty Ford, Ohio's number one Ford dealer group. With over 30 years in Northeast Ohio, it's certain Liberty Ford will make your next vehicle purchase an easy one. A friendly and knowledgeable staff paired with high-quality customer service makes the Liberty experience impossible to beat. Plus, their guaranteed financing, award-winning service department, and body shop just add to it. Visit Liberty Ford today or go to libertyford.com.
Quaker Steak & Lube is now the official chicken wing of the Cleveland Browns. Lube wings are now available at Cleveland Browns Stadium. Whether you're watching the game live or stopping in your local Quaker Steak & Lube, be sure you're getting your best wings USA fix every game day. Watching the game at home, the lube has you covered. Call ahead or order online to pick up your lube wings at the pickup wingo window. Quaker Steak & Lube is proud to be the official chicken wing of the Cleveland Browns.
Madden NFL 12 delivers an authentic NFL experience with an all-new collision system, team-specific runners, and real-life broadcast with all-new dynamic player performance. Players' traits rise and fall based on their performance throughout the game. Madden NFL 12, true to the game. EA Sports Madden NFL 12 is available now. Want to learn more? Go to ea.com/MaddenNFL.
Have a passion for health and fitness? Rather be in the gym than in office? Change lives by sharing that passion. Stauffenberger College is introducing a new program this fall designed just for you. Personal fitness training. Make your dreams come true. Fall enrollment ends October 14th. Call Stauffenberger College at 440-838-1999 or visit learnwhatyoulove.com. See what everybody's talking about. For information about the college graduation rate, median debt, and more, visit learnwhatyoulove.com. Financial aid is available to those who qualify and eligible veterans to utilize their Montgomery GI Bill.
Hi, I need an insurance quote.
I've got auto quotes, home quotes, life quotes. What kind of quote?
An auto quote?
We have liability and collision with a $250 deductible going once.
Wait.
Going twice.
Wait.
Sold to the woman with the confused look on her face.
Getting a quote shouldn't be such a rush. At Liberty Mutual, we'll take the time to understand your needs so you can get the coverage that's right for you today. Find a local office at libertymutual.com/agents and take the time to speak to a Liberty Mutual agent today. Liberty Mutual Insurance. Responsibility. What's your policy?
Doug Deacon here for Infinity of Bedford. Located in the heart of Bedford's Auto Mile, Infinity of Bedford is the number one Infinity store in Ohio, Michigan, Kentucky, and Indiana for the last 4 years. They have the largest selection of Infinities and have more service technicians than anyone else to take care of your Infinity. They have pickup service at your home or office and a fleet of loan vehicles to use while you have your Infinity service. To find your next Infinity or for service, visit InfinityofBedford.com. Infinity of Bedford, a Penske Automotive dealership.
And we are so pleased that you've chosen to spend this portion of your day with us on Cleveland Browns Daily. And this segment is driven by Liberty Ford and brought to you by Madden NFL 12 in stores now. EA Sports, it's in the game. Hey, Cleveland Browns single game tickets are going fast. So purchase yours before it's too late. That includes the upcoming Browns-Seahawks game Sunday, October 23rd at 1 p.m. For more information, you call 1-800-745-3000 or visit clevelandbrowns.com today. We continue the roundtable portion of our show looking back at Sunday's 17-16 win over the Dolphins. Jimmy, the defense, what can we say? They were fantastic. They've been fantastic. I mean, I got one common thread. We touched upon identity. I got one common thread through three games, despite that gaffe in the first game. Mm-hmm. This is a pretty solid defense.
Oh, I think so. I'm amazed. I really thought coming into the start of the regular season that the offense would be light years ahead of the defense. And right now, I mean, the defense is clearly ahead of the offense with this team. They are getting legitimate pressure. Mm-hmm. And I say that every week to all of us here at the table because we haven't seen that. I mean, we've seen people flash in. Marcus Bernard has a big game against Roethlisberger on that Thursday night. You know, things like that. We've seen gimmicky defense. But this is honest, true pressure that really wore that quarterback out, I think, yesterday in the late stages of that game.
You're right, Jim, down after down. And I think they're really choosing their spots well to bring some heat off the edge or even inside. And I think, you know, Deke knows this better than anybody. When you got big guys inside, and, boy, Reuben and Taylor are doing a nice job in there, those linebackers and those corners can come off their rear ends and get even more pressure on the quarterback.
Yeah, and I think, you know, if you look at the defense, the way when they get in third and longs, they gave them the underneath stuff, but prevented them from getting the first downs. And, you know, they didn't go for the knockout punch like, you know, we used to, I think, with Rob Ryan would do, where you'd call some exotic blitz to where you're bringing people from the stands. But, you know, what he did, you know, yesterday was he said, okay, we'll give you the 10 yards, but we're not going to give you the 15 to give you the first down.
Sure. And for the most part, their tackling has been sharp, too. I mean, you know, you've seen guys wrap and bring guys down.
Yeah. That's the thing. When I see a guy make that nice recognition and get in position to make a play, the play gets made. You don't see the missed tackle and then the guy squirts out for more yards.
And I'm gonna. Dimitri Patterson has tackled well because you know he is that guy that's dragging under
the perimeter.
That is the play that goes 10, that goes 60 because of a missed tackle, and he's leaving it at 10 because he's making tackles.
You know, we talk about yesterday being that maybe possibly defining moment for Colt McCoy, leading the 80-yard drive under duress, the winning touchdown. But I think for a defense, as young as it is, I think there's something to be said about this being a defining game to the extent that you were repeatedly asked to pick it up or save the game or keep them, either force them to punt or keep them out of the end zone. And they did it over and over over again. They were getting worn down. I heard at one point, I think it was Chris Gokong said afterward that, hey, I don't know if there was another series or two, I couldn't have made it. Guys were starting to dehydrate. It was a difficult process. So I think as young guys and as a whole, maybe this defense kind of came of age.
Well, we were talking during the course of the game yesterday. You know, you got two teams where one quarterback's at about 40%, the other's at 80%.
Yeah.
One team has about 120 less yards, yet you're only a three-point difference in the game. So obviously the bend but don't break part of it was working.
Yes, and that really defines, Tom, what Dick Geron's defense is. I've seen it up close for a long, long time. It is bend but don't break.
Yeah, and you know, and they were being statistically dominated like nothing I had ever seen before yesterday in the first half, and only be down, was it 3 points at halftime?
Yeah, 10-7, I think.
So they were still in the game, which I thought was a victory right there, and they just hung around. Yeah. You're right. And Vic, you know, you're seeing, you know, the young guys are making plays on defense. The older guys are keeping things in line. So, yeah, it's a nice unit at this point.
I just felt that they had an interception in them. I mean, I really did. It's a little bit because of Henny.
You mean Henny had an interception?
I thought he had one in him, and I thought that secondary was going to get one.
Right.
And I was really, I mean, it went right down to the last play when they got it in a very big play, but they deserved one because I think the secondary did a good job yesterday. I thought Hayden was amazing again yesterday.
Oh, yeah, and I love how this is constructed defensively because they take a guy like Mike Adams with the savvy and the experience, and he's the robber. He's freelancing a little bit and can pretty much have the freedom to go where he needs to go and focus on reading the quarterback's eyes, which he said he did quite well with Chad Henne, and make that play. And he really looked like he came out of the weeds. You watch the replay. If you see Brandon Marshall crossing toward our side, towards the press box side, and then boom.
And they got that little rotation going at safety, which seems to be working at this point. I mean, all those guys are making productive plays when they're out there.
That, I guess they meant it when they said there were three starters.
Yeah.
That you really can't say, you know, by definition, who the best of them are. They're all pretty good.
Yeah, I tell you, you got to have a Mike Adams. I mean, you got to have him. Yeah. Don't you think they?
Oh, yeah,
I mean,
he's a coach in the secondary.
He really is a player. I mean, he's fought to stay in the league. Yeah. He's proud of the fact that he's played now 101 career games. But he's always played a good game here.
Right.
I mean, he really always gives you everything he has.
But it's a three-man rotation of two. I don't think TJ's coming out much.
Yeah,
exactly. You're right. TJ's a permanent fixture. That's a great point. And the other thing about the sort of the character of the team or the characteristic, I guess, of the team, if defense is what's carrying you to a large extent, which I think it's fair to say that that's what we've got here, so be it. I mean, as much as I know people will get excited, they've clamored for wide receivers to be, okay, more involved, make plays. Hey, two of them got the touchdowns yesterday, the first two of the season in the regular season. They clamor for more dynamic. I know that sells the tickets. I know that's exciting. But I think you are going to win because last year's draft and this year's draft that has brought in so much defensive talent, the re-signing of guys like Jamie Mitchell, the extending of contracts like Tabor Rubin have been moves that tell me what the core of this team is, at least for now, until we know what Colt McCoy grows up to be.
And they haven't sold themselves out. They got Dimitri Patterson, who's a big, you know, part of this thing because they needed that third cornerback. And in doing so, you got somebody who can do it now, but you got a Buster Screen that, you know, learning behind him.
Yeah.
So, you know, you're trying to build depth plus experience at the same time, and it's working.
You know, we kind of overlook that nickelback sometimes, but I tell you what, this kid is as good a nickelback as this team has had since 99. I mean, they brought in, like, older veteran guys.
And Poteet.
Right, Poteet, Ray Mickens, guys like that.
Right. Yeah.
Frank Brown, right? So was it Frank Brown, I think? Anyway, really solidified and another, you know, it's an essential part of that defense.
To stay with that historical theme to some extent, and in my case, I'm doing my best to get caught up with everybody here. I'm the rookie, but I'll say this about this Browns team. It made a statement to me that Sheldon Brown stays on the field. It was hurting. Stays on the field. Now, Buster Screen, they were in those four wide, so they had to have all hands on deck to cover guys one-on-one in those situations. So Jerome Henderson's got all his guys out there, the DB's coach. And he's out there kind of dragging a leg. And then on the offensive side, Cribbs is playing with that groin. Okay, he's off of the return game, and that was a factor too. Masakwa with the ankle. I think that's making a statement. I think from a example, like you talk about leadership from example, that's classic. It's not your words now. I think the younger guys are getting a pretty good message on what it takes to be a pro.
Well, that's, you know, in this league, you got to play hurt. If you aren't hurt.
But not everybody does, Doug. You know that.
But you're not playing.
Yeah.
I mean, because you're going to be banged up, and you're never going to be 100%. And Sheldon Brown was a perfect example last year. Sheldon Brown, when a guy has got a shoulder or whatever, and you can't play at 100%, yet you know the guys on the team are counting on you, and you show up and you give it your best effort. Yeah, that's where you build respect in the locker room, but you also build chemistry within the team.
I mean, he played from the Jets game last year on to the end of the year with one arm. I mean, Sheldon Brown, you know, touche. I mean, he is a real pro.
And Doug, does that filter down through the locker room? And I mean, I know you're a guy who had to suck it up quite a bit and get out there when you had to.
Well, yeah, I mean, people count on you, and, you know, coaches count on you. And I think if, you know, the respect you get in the locker room, you know, I always tell guys, it doesn't matter how much money you make, you know, playing football. It's the respect you get when you leave the game that is going to be worth more.
All right, game ball's time. Let's swing around this table. Now, the fans voted for theirs. They vote for their game balls via the Browns official Facebook page, and we'll announce those results later in the show. But now for the roundtable's results. Jimmy?
I'm going to give Montario Hardesty a game ball because it was good to see him, and I thought he was an integral part of the game that got them going a little bit. I'm going to give Massaquoi a game ball because I thought that was a terrific play. I thought he was good on that last drive. And I'm going to give one more because I just enjoyed watching Joe Hayden battle all day against Marshall. I thought that was exceptional to watch.
He was in his grill.
Oh, all day long.
Throughout the game.
I'm going to give one to, let's see where we're going on this one. I'll give one to Josh Cribbs because he made a great play and he played hurt. I'll give one to Massaquoi for playing hurt, and I'll give one to Hardesty on the offense too because, you know, he's coming off a knee injury and there's a lot of mental scars that you got to get rid of. Defensively, you know, Jamie Mitchell had a sack and a half against Jake Long, who's probably one of the best in the league with Joe Thomas. So you got to give him one. I think Joe Hayden deserves one. And I think Sheldon Brown. I mean, I guess I got a special part for a guy that played. And I give one to Phil Dawson because, you know, he became the second leading scorer in the Browns' history. And he's 300 and some behind Lou Groza. But he's got more field goals behind Lou Groza. What's that tell you about how many touchdowns they used to score in the old days?
Yeah, absolutely. I agree with all those, Dawson as well. I'm going to open up the box and give it to the whole defense. I mean, they really held it together yesterday. You know, when the offense wasn't doing anything until the final 3:23, I mean, that game is over without that.
Hard to see.
The entire unit, especially the defensive line. I mean, everybody made an impact. I mean, you know, Mitchell right on down the line. So I'll give one to the entire defense.
Okay. I'll be a little more selective because, you know, I got to watch the budget here on the leather. But DeQuell Jackson, Tava Rubin, I think we're two pretty obvious ones. Mo Mass and Cribbs for plays, but playing hurt, as we said. And I know Sheldon falls into that category, but Montario Hardesty doesn't really blink. I mean, he steps in, big situation. And you know what? Mike Adams. It wasn't over until then. Yeah, and that was the play we had to see to call it a day. All right, great. Oh, go ahead, Doug.
I think we took for granted, you know, that the Indianapolis game was kind of an ugly win. But if you watch Pittsburgh last night, it wasn't quite as ugly as we thought.
Right. No, that made you appreciate yesterday's game.
What a crazy league.
Great point, Doug. All right, wonderful roundtable. Jim Donovan and Doug Deacon from the Browns Radio Network. Tom Withers from the Associated Press. Guys, appreciate it. We will do this again on Friday as we preview the Browns-Titans game. Much more coming up on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
ESPN Cleveland's traffic.
Flooding has shut down East 200 between St. Clair and Lakeland Boulevard. East 222nd between St. Clair and the Lakeland Freeway. Water of a different kind. Dover Center northbound and North Olmsted closed between Butternut Ridge and Lorraine with a broken water main for you there. Weather permitting, they'll be doing work on Chagrin Boulevard between Belvoir Boulevard and Orange Place between 7 p.m. and 7 a.m. Closing lanes on and off. I'm Libby Rhodes, ESPN 850 WKNR traffic.
Hey, Browns fans. Vic Carucci here talking to you about my good friends at Liberty Ford, Ohio's number one Ford dealer group. Liberty has hundreds of vehicles in stock to choose from, like the 2012 Explorer Limited I'm driving right now. Great design, third row seating, navigation, plus all the technology you need right at your fingertips. With guaranteed financing and award-winning customer service, You just can't beat the Liberty Ford experience. Stop by Liberty Ford today to see for yourself or visit libertyford.com.
Hey, Browns fans, your favorite Cleveland Browns are going green, and you can too. Intercept your ways. Recycle your cardboard, paper, plastic, cans, and glass at home, at work, and on game day. Remember to compost food scraps and yard clippings too. Make it a habit. Reduce, reuse, recycle, and compost. Visit CuyahogaSWD.org to learn more. Powered by the Ohio Department of Natural Resources and the Cuyahoga County Solid Waste District.
It's a fact Fox 8 viewers agree on.
Fox 8 News is different.
There's more to news than just the news.
They make us feel like we're at home with them or they're at home with us, and it's a great feeling to have that.
They're like friends and neighbors that I have that I bring into my living room when I want to see the news.
And there's more to a forecast than just toys and gadgets.
I don't know, when you hear Dick Otter's name, you smile because he's, you know, he's a legend.
There's a difference. Cleveland's own Fox 8 News.
Your American dream is out there. Protect it with American Family Insurance.
My dream is a house on a hill. Not just any hill, the perfect hill. A hill with just the right slope, so it's not too steep to walk up, yet still steep enough to ride a toboggan down in winter. And on top of this hill will be our house, with big windows and great views. After all, that's the whole point of living on a hill. And of course, we'll have a garden with tomatoes. And the house should have a large porch. We'll eat our tomatoes on the porch. And we'll have a paved driveway with a basketball hoop and two basketballs in case one rolls down the hill. And since I don't want to lose sleep worrying about storms or hail or fire damaging my dream, I'll protect it with American Family Insurance.
Your dream is out there. Go get it. We'll protect it. Whether your dream home is an apartment, condo, or house, American Family Insurance offers a variety of ways to protect it while saving you money. Find out more at amfam.com/dreams. Online, on call, in person. American Family
Insurance. Tune in to Mike and Mike every morning. Brought to you by Cleveland Clinic Sports Health. Lube Stop's technicians are like trusted friends, and you'll know they'll provide a quality service. They even give your vehicle a 20-point inspection during a visit to any of their 37 locally owned shops. Visit lubestop.com/radio for a store near you and to download an exclusive coupon.
The road is not exactly a place of intelligence. For starters, over 100,000 miles of highways and bridges are in disrepair. As for the drivers, they're texting, eating, grooming, anything but driving. At Audi, we think it's time to bring some intelligence to the road. That's why we engineered the new Audi A6. It takes in real-time information, continuously analyzes the road, and makes 2,000 decisions every second to combat whatever the road throws its way. But whether or not you're driving the new A6, there are some things you can do right now to help our cause. Like place your hands at 9 and 3, not 9 and latte. We're on a mission to smarten up the roads. The new Audi A6 is here. Audi, truth in engineering.
Your Cleveland Audi dealers invite you to experience the new intelligent 2012 Audi A6 with legendary Quattro all-wheel drive today or 24/7 at clevelandaudidealers.com.
And time to give our poll result, which was the question posted on the official Browns Facebook page. Which player gets your game ball from the Browns' 17-16 win over the Dolphins, and why? Joshua Cribbs, DeQuell Jackson, Muhammad Massaqua, Colt McCoy were the choices, and you voted. And you said, 79% of you said Colt McCoy. Good one. Interesting. A lot of people went defense in our roundtable discussion, but this was Colt. Marcus saying he made the biggest play despite not playing that well. That sums it up pretty nicely. Matthew, he brought us back and only missed two throws while working our way down the field. Good stuff. All right. And what else was on that result? 14% for Muhammad Massaqua. Momass, of course, getting the winning points. All right. Questions to ask Vic. Bunch of you sent them in via our official Twitter page. Joe at DogPound68 asks, what do you think the coaches are going to do about all these penalties? Joe, it's a great question. Eight is too many. We talked about it throughout the show. Eight after 11 in the opener. Way too many. And, you know, I thought something was resolved and solved in that game in Indianapolis. Clearly, it's something that this team still needs to work on. A couple you could say were cheap or chintzy. Can't worry about that. You can't worry. You're going to get different officiating crews who see things differently. You've got to stay discipline, and what can they do? I mean, other than just continually reinforce it, this isn't training camp anymore. You're preparing specifically for games. You got to stay in that mode. Larry at Animal Ez asks, what do you make of Joe Haden shadowing Brandon Marshall the whole game? Is that a change in philosophy? No, it was physical cornerback matching up with physical wide receiver. It was really, I think, a good strategy, a very good strategy by Dick Duron and the rest of Jerome Henderson, the rest of that Browns defensive staff. And it did the job. I mean, and Marshall did, you know, he's the guy who's going to beat you, and he didn't. Haden had a lot to do with that. I think they frustrated Marshall quite a bit. Ginelli, I guess, at Macy J. Mace, or Mace J. Mace, I'll get that right. When Hillis gets back, what do you think the Browns, or how do you think the Browns will use him with Hardesty? Will it be like a double threat? I would say that it's going to be, yeah, that's the goal from day one, is to have the changeup option, not just Hillis powering his way through mostly the middle and mostly over people. They want Hardesty to go around some people. They want defenses to have that change-up option to worry about. So I think that's the key there. And Craig from Facebook asked, why not let McCoy go from shotgun more often? It seems to buy him more time, and he looks much more productive. Well, Craig, here's the thing about shotgun coaches don't like. You take your eye off the you're looking at the ball, and you take your eye off the defense. So I think that's a big reason why they like the focus of having him under center. Some thank yous: Bernie Kosar, Jim Donovan, Doug Deacon, Kristen Ribelli, Jameer Howerton, Pat McKenna, Will Burge, Dave DiNatale. Had so much. We'll do this again tomorrow on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford.